We've got some of the best minds on regional, state level, city, and, you know, national level growth on the stage here when it comes to startups and tech. So I would love for just to go down the line and have you all briefly introduce yourselves, and then we'll dive into the questions.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jamal Lewis. I am the Economic Opportunity Manager for a public-private partnership called Partnership for Inclusive Innovation. We are housed under Georgia Tech and excited to be with you here today.
I'm Brian Bean with Pinnacle Financial Partners, also known as Pinnacle Bank. I am the head of corporate banking for Pinnacle. That covers financial sponsors, how we interact in publicly traded companies, large corporates, overseeing our investments as an LP and funds like Valor, where we're a very proud LP. That's what I spend my time doing. Nice to be here.
I'm Donnie Beamer, and I serve as the City of Atlanta's Senior Technology Advisor. It's a new role that was created to help grow the venture ecosystem here in the city. So we've been doing it about 11 months. Internally facing, we want to make sure that the city operates more efficiently. Right? We wanted to be safe. We wanted to be efficient and transparent. And so the thing is, for those tools to be optimal, we want them to be built here. So we want to enable everyone in the city to be a founder, and the ones that are here to be successful. So that's my role. I was a founder once. I built an artificially intelligent robotic bartender. And so this was before AI was a fad. And but the same fears were present, right? How does...
Right. You already won the day with that. I mean,
it was a fun job, and but that fear of how will this technology make me obsolete as a bartender? We may get into it on the panel as well, but been here as an investor, been in corporate. So I see my friend from Cox here. I worked there before joining the mayor's office. So excited to share my perspective.
Good afternoon. My name is David Evans. I am in the weird phase of being between Act 2 and Act 3, so I would say semi-retired, but I do need to find something to do next. But most recently was CEO of a company called Passport out of Charlotte, where we were a mobility management platform working with cities through the lens and the usage of digital pay parking enforcement, payments, et cetera. Prior to that, I was the CFO for Cardlytics. Cardlytics socks on, I think, today. Yeah. I did that for about 7 years. And prior to that, I was investment banking for about 12 years, focused on technology, vertically integrated software, payments, et cetera. So one way or another, either as an engineer, a banker, an operator, executive, I've always been around technology. And for whatever reason, I've always found myself in awe of all of these founders that come up with these ideas out of thin air. And I kind of come in for the ride, if you will. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for your time. I'll kick it off to Brian. Don't pass that mic yet. Brian, from your vantage point of being at Pinnacle, you know, a regional bank, and in fostering an ecosystem of startups and technology where you're collaborating with states, venture funds like Valor, accelerators, what emerging tech trends have you seen in the region that get you and the Pinnacle team excited?
Yeah, so maybe small amount of background. I won't give you too much of a story on us, but we are a startup. We started 23 years ago. Today, we are a $48 billion bank. We operate in Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, D.C., Baltimore. We have a southeastern focus, 35th largest bank in the country. And so very focused in the Southeast, very entrepreneurial to grow from zero to $48 billion of assets. Most all of that, excepting about $10 billion of that, was an acquisition, but the rest of it is organic growth. In the past 8 years, we are eight times the size we were 8 years ago. So high growth, high entrepreneurial, very much invested in the Southeast. So kind of lay that as the framework. I think what we're super excited about is the Southeast certainly is receiving more than our fair share of investment, of the momentum in the, I would say, in the U.S. growth of business climate generally, but certainly in tech. You think about all businesses today, to call tech a sector is probably not a good description, because we just had Home Depot sitting up here talking about how they do tech. We're a bank. Technology is very important to a bank. So every company has to have a technology strategy and how they use technology to do business. And so Nashville, where I sit, is a huge healthcare space. Well, technology and healthcare are usually said in the same sentence very often. So the trends, I think, the influx of institutional capital to the Southeast is certainly the most amount of that's coming to Southeast as compared to other parts of our country, out in the West Coast, Northeast, Midwest. The South is getting more than our fair share. The population growth and the talent and capability that's moving here that has that training background and expertise is, another really exciting trend. I think I'm going to segue a little bit to a couple other my friends on the stage, but not to steal their thunder. Our legal, regulatory, government sort of infrastructure to support business growth, tech growth, job growth is unlike anything else in the country. So for Pinnacle, we feel very fortunate to have the Southeastern focused on growth companies, small business, and fostering that because, whether it's right place, right time or what, things are moving in that direction for us. So it's an exciting time to be a bank in the Southeast that's growing.
Jamal, I'll come to you next to get the state perspective of Georgia has seen tremendous tech growth over the last 5, 10, 15 years or so. How are you and the team at Penn ensuring that the benefits of this growth are distributed to the state and not only, the metropolitan hubs, but going to impact change across the entire state of Georgia?
So, just a little bit of background. I'm an economic developer by trade and marketing as well. So first, kudos to the city for being a great model and an example for, inclusive innovation and equity and diversity. But what we actually do at the partnership is considered tech-based economic development. So we have a more community-based up approach where traditional economic development tends to be top-down. And so what we're looking to do is figure out communities that we can work with right across the state and now even across the Southeast that we can help to develop leaders, creating talent, right? So getting opportunities for the next generation of innovators to be exposed to innovation, entrepreneurship, and technology opportunities earlier, and then connecting them to those pathways. So if you want to be an entrepreneur in this space, a lot of communities across the Southeast don't have access and opportunity. So how can we help stabilize that, equip the leaders in the communities with that? And I think you'll see, from the work that we've done this industry agnostic. So we have healthcare projects, we have education projects, inclusive entrepreneurship projects that we are working on. And we really, when I say community up, we're not taking a model as a blueprint, but we're working with community specifically to see what is your strength? What is your workforce trained for? What industry do you have here? And let's figure out how we can implement innovation around that.
I'll go over to Donnie now. The city of Atlanta is seeing tremendous tailwinds, and you and the mayor's team have just done a tremendous job of enacting change and bringing technology to the forefront of what Atlanta is becoming known for. What are some of the initiatives that you all are most excited about that you all believe will drive tech growth here now and in the future of the city?
So one of the things I'm most excited about is he talked about things not being fair, and that's part of life, right? And we're getting more than our fair share, and it's about time we're on the right side of something being unfair. So I'm excited about the attention on the South. For so many years, you've heard this narrative of it's hard to raise money because there weren't Valors in town, or you all are supporting that by being an LP to make it possible for companies to not have to move to LA, San Fran, or New York to try to find investors. So we thank you for choosing Atlanta. There's great value, great builders here. You talked about pathways. So we are trying to ensure that from diapers to degree, you have all of the resources here. So the programming we have is in place to ensure you have both the resources, that's talent, capital, and customers, to build your venture, and then a off-ramp wherever you want to pursue a career in tech, right? And so you talked about sort of, there's this tension here in Georgia around rural versus metro and, you know, black and white and all these things. And we are trying to include all parties in the prosperity that comes from tech. I think what we can benefit from is seeing some other cities that haven't, I haven't done it right or thoughtfully, where most times the people from the area get gentrified out. And that's one thing we want to make sure we get right. So spending a lot of time to promote inclusion and participation by everyone. And, you know, one of the things I'm most also excited about, have you all heard of the Georgia AIM grant, Georgia AI and Manufacturing? So it's a $65 million grant that's come to Georgia Tech and some other institutions to pursue innovations using AI in manufacturing. And so, of course, the innovations, a lot of the technology comes from Atlanta, but it's deployed in the other parts of Georgia, which helps increase the collaboration across these interstate borders, intrastate borders. And one of the things that they're building is robots, you know, AI, to help process chickens. And so if you can imagine, like, it's not a sexy job. Nobody wants to go and work to break down chickens. But if you looked at Georgia as a nation, as a state, it's considered a country, it would be the sixth largest producer of chicken in the world. And so it's a really important industry. And after COVID, many people didn't want to do that job because COVID was running rampant in the plants. And so we wanted to find ways to increase productivity. So a lot of the fear around machines taking jobs, it's going to first take jobs that people don't want, right? And that's what we're trying to promote, and also equipping people to understand how to use it so they're not displaced and they have something better to do now that the machines are here.
That's a lot of chicken.
That is a lot of chicken. Yeah,
yeah, we had some good chicken back there. But zooming out to you, David, as the former CFO of Cardlytics and CEO of Passport, you know, how do you see the broader economic landscape being impacted by a lot of the burgeoning tech startups here in the South and vice versa?
Yes, so I would say my last job focused on cities and municipalities, and we sold to cities and municipalities. And I would echo the same comments made earlier of where Atlanta is as part of that journey. You know, the fact that there now is this Office of Innovation and the need for a city to be able to benefit from what is already in place, which is a very differentiated and diversified economy, to be able to layer in a broad set of technological skills in a lot of other different industries, and an innovation office that's willing to be at the forefront of that. Obviously, you know, previously we were very focused on, you know, how to make cities more livable, equitable, accessible. But I think there's also that opportunity to layer in that Office of Innovation at the state and the local levels to be able to leverage the technology and the business that exists here in the city to be able to make the city better and to make the city operate in a way that satisfies its mandate to create livable, equitable, accessible communities. And so certainly from an outlook perspective, I think I love Atlanta. I grew up not too far from here. I live in Charlotte now. I love Charlotte as well. But Atlanta sits in a very fortuitous position to be able to accelerate the agenda around digital adoption and AI and the other and the like.
I appreciate that. And last, as we wrap up here in a very rapid fire, 30-second type of response fashion, I want to go down the line and get one bold prediction for tech growth, whether it be city, state, regional, national level. I'll start with you, Jamal.
So I'm really excited. So I sit on the Georgia Digital Connectivity Committee, and we've been tasked with creating a digital equity plan for the state. And so one thing is that's happening is there's a lot of money coming down the pipeline from the federal government for digital broadband infrastructure. So the idea is that we can't just build it out, but we also have to teach people how to use it, teach communities, teach founders, you know, just all populations. And so I think what we'll see is as Atlanta continues and Nashville and Charlotte and places begin to excel into global ecosystems, that there's an opportunity and a need for communities, small to mid-sized communities, to fill the void that's going to be created based on these cities elevating. And so we really want to see more public and civic innovation, more entrepreneurship and things that'll grow. And I think over the across the state, you'll start to see more of that over the next 3 to 5 years.
Bold prediction. I don't know if this is that bold. I think it's an observation that I think will accelerate. The technology of climate and how, where innovation and growth is happening is certainly a lot in the South. number of reasons for that, but let me give some examples. So many of your largest utility grade solar projects, solar farms, are in the South. You have many here in Georgia. You've seen them. So generating power in a more climate friendly way, whether it's solar or wind or other ways, is one example. There is one of the largest, I'll stay on solar, one of the largest solar panel manufacturing plants was announced in the state of Alabama by First Solar. So they're going to build these solar panels. One of the real bottlenecks in that industry is they couldn't get solar panels out of China fast enough. One of the largest investments in the state of Tennessee is the Ford battery plant, which is in kind of middle of nowhere, Tennessee. It's a $5 billion investment in a town that, I'm going to exaggerate this, but had like 10,000 people or something like that. So, you know, I think that there's this realization that the South has the ingredients on the table to bake a really great cake in that space. We've got a workforce. We've got the demographics that fit the ability to fill that workforce in terms of available labor. And we have available land to do things like big plants, big solar farms, those sorts of things. I mentioned earlier the tax and regulatory and sort of government environment that is very inviting and wants to build that growth. So I think the climate technology in particular, I think you'll continue to see the South be a leader there.
10th year in a row, best state to do business in, Georgia, right? And so he talked about it, those ingredients. We want to live up to the potential and connect the dots of all those pieces. So we want Atlanta, big, bold prediction, 10 years from now to be the place. If you talk to 10 of your founders, six of them are going to say, I need to go to Atlanta, right? That's where I need to be to scale. And I think we already have, particularly in a B2B context, this great diversity of industry. So whatever you need to sell, you can sell it here. We just need to shift the mindset of the people. It's awesome, the people that were just on stage. You need those types of advocates, allies in-house to move the needle, help you get to the right people. So that's something we're working on from the inside out. We're doing it as the city as well. So that's part of the reason I'm here, to be your advocate to sell to the city. And we're actually working with some companies that Lisa sent our way. So excited to share some more of that later if we have time.
Bold predictions. I would echo Lisa's points earlier. 23-24 will be one of the better vintages for venture investment. The next year or two will continue to be a tough environment for all the founders out there. I'd leave you with the quote of survive to thrive in 25, because if you can look in the rearview mirror and show that you were able to execute through a difficult environment, you're likely to benefit from said endeavor. And you know, from an industry perspective, I'm kind of, you know, eating up all things AI. I think there will be some that don't make it. It's a lot like, it feels a lot like 99-2000, but the internet was very real. And so, you know, where do you see the nearer term types of successes take place? It's likely those areas that are in need of acceleration and efficiencies. And so where are those sectors that have the most, you know, friction such that can be sped up in a way where, people can move a little bit faster and do better work. So all things that we've already talked about. So I'm excited to see it come fruition.
Survive to thrive in 25. I like that.
You can take that.
Put that on a t-shirt.
I know. I like that. Gentlemen, thank you for your insights.
Oh, hey, time. One quick thing. How many of you flew into Hartsfield to attend this? And on the way in, did you see Lisa in the airport? Did you see her? You saw that. So we featured many of our founders, our unicorns, our investors that play such an important role in the tech ecosystem here, because we want to celebrate what we have to offer and change the way that people think about Atlanta and the South. So on your way out, you know, if you didn't see her, see if you can find the Atlanta Tech Hub campaign. That's, we'll be in the airport through March, right? So,
thanks for being a part of the community of Courage by listening to the visionary founders and investors on the Atlanta Startup Podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss a single episode of the over 200 investors and founders sharing their insider tips and secrets to growth. Our regular listeners tell us we're the briefing room for the innovation economy in the fastest growing region of the country, the South, and when you subscribe, you become part of the inside circle. The Atlanta Startup Podcast is proudly hosted by Valor VC. Valor is a venture capital firm that leads seed rounds in AI and B2B SaaS startups. If you like the podcast, check out more of Valor's programs for courageous founders and investors, like Startup Runway. Over $100 million in early-stage venture capital is catalyzed through Startup Runway's grant-making program for pre-seed startups. Go to startuprunway.org to learn more and apply directly for non-dilutive capital. Valor celebrates VC Day, the largest early-stage private capital conference in the region, at the end of the year. Top founders, leading VCs, endowments, and family offices attend. Learn more at vc.day. At Valor, courage is the currency of innovation and the heartbeat of our culture. Thanks for listening and join us again next week.